So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews and chapter 1. You'll find this reading on page 1201 if you're following in the church Bibles. So just the first four verses. So Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Amen. So these last few weeks, we have been reflecting on the theme of discipleship, what it means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. A disciple, of course, you can be a disciple of anything or anyone. A disciple is somebody who follows somebody else or something else. A disciple is somebody who follows but does more than simply follow. A disciple also pays attention to the one that they're following. The disciple listens carefully to the one that they're following, because to some degree or other, the disciple wants to glean good things from the one that they're following. Perhaps even they want to be changed and transformed themselves to be more like the one that they are following. And this can be true in many areas of our lives where we aspire to be like somebody else, and we can become somebody's disciple because we want to be like them. And that is certainly true of the disciple of Jesus, a Jesus disciple. And the very first week when we spoke about this, I shared that ancient blessing that you might remember: may you get dusty. Which in any other context, you might think, what a strange blessing upon somebody. May you get dusty. But what it meant simply was the blessing of may you be so close behind the one that you follow that the dust that they kick up from the ground, may it fall upon you. May you know that blessing as you are so close behind Jesus, as you're following him, paying attention to him, listening to him, wanting to be like Jesus. May you get dusty. And we've been reflecting on what it means for us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, here's a picture. Atacama Desert in Chile. I don't suppose any of us have been there. Just a quick look round. I don't suppose so. But it's a desert. It looks like a desert. It's very hot there and it's dry, and as far as you can see, pretty much nothing is growing there. Now I'm going to show you another picture, exactly the same spot, Atacama Desert in Chile. Did you see the difference? This is a spot the difference, okay? Exactly the same spot, but something has happened. Any guesses what's happened?
It rained.
And here is a desert that is bone dry, absolutely bone dry. It's a desert that you wouldn't want to get lost in. The same would be true of Death Valley, the hottest place on earth. But we have a similar phenomena that happens at Atacama Desert, but also Death Valley and a number of other deserts around the world, where for the majority of the year, it is bone dry. And you could look for life and you would not find life. Absolutely not. But then it rains. And we have what's called a desert bloom. And the whole valley is lush with flowers, with abundance, with colour. And this is relevant to us as today we think about reading the Bible as disciples. Because we can read the Bible and find that for us it is dry. We can read the Bible and find that it is as arid as a desert. And each one of us, I think if we're honest, would say, well, you know, from time to time we've read the Bible and thought, well, that's very nice. Thanks. And move on. But just like the desert, if it will rain, if the Holy Spirit would inspire us, if the Holy Spirit would rain on us, something happens. And what was once as dry and as arid as a desert somehow blooms with life. And that is our hope, our prayer, our desire as disciples of Jesus. As those who follow Jesus, who pay attention to Jesus, who listen to Jesus, and seek to be changed, transformed, to be more like Jesus. The disciple reads the Bible to encounter Jesus. That's what we're doing. You say, why do we do that? Well, because we're following Jesus. He's the one that we're paying attention to. Now, all of this is part of our series of reflections on the habits of the disciple. How can we better follow in the footsteps of Jesus? And being a disciple, being transformed to be more like Jesus, much that we wish it would be simply magic and it would happen in an instant and we would be transformed from one moment to the next and suddenly find ourselves, I'm a disciple now. I've been transformed. It's all happened. If only it would be like that, but it's not. It is through the repetition of habits, the habit of obedience, the habit of prayer, the habit of reading and studying the Bible, the habit of worship and service, the habit of good character and paying attention to our character, the habit of witness, and the habit of practicing the presence of God. It is through the repetition of these habits on a consistent, regular basis that we find ourselves transformed. And it's a transformation that we may not see in ourselves, but others. What have you done? Have you lost weight? Have you had your hair cut? There's something different about you that you don't know about yourself, but they observe. But all you've done is practice the habits of the disciple. And the disciple reads the Bible to encounter Jesus. That is what we do. That is what we seek to do. The disciple reads the Bible to encounter Jesus. We do that because Jesus reveals God. Jesus reveals God. Jesus is everything God wants to say. And Jesus is the Word of God. That's simple. I hope. Jesus reveals God. Well, even in the passage that I read just a few moments ago from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Similar words are used in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the exact representation of God. John, as he wrote his gospel, the Apostle John, as he wrote his gospel, he begins at the beginning with his conclusion. Often in books, we have to read the entire book and then we get to, oh, that's what it's about. But John, he doesn't do that. He says, look, this is the conclusion. If you don't read anything else, just read the beginning. And he says, what we've discovered and what you will discover as you read this story is Jesus is God made flesh. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God encounters people, look at Jesus. And that is the story again and again and again within the Gospels. Jesus reveals God. And so we read the Bible in order to encounter Jesus because we want to know God. Jesus is everything God wants to say. Jesus is everything God wants to say. I love the opening words of Hebrews, where the writer, we don't know who actually wrote Hebrews. Many years ago, it was thought, oh, well, the Apostle Paul probably wrote it. Well, I think most people think, no, we have no idea who wrote it. But they are words of wisdom. In the past, the writer says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. And of course, we can read the Old Testament and there's story after story about different prophets who are sent by God, inspired by God, to speak his word, his direction, God's wisdom to them, God's correction sometimes to them. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. How did God speak? Just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And if we pay attention to Jesus, if we listen to Jesus, then we hear everything that God wants to say. And you might say, well, hang on, Aaron. Are you saying that we are limiting everything God wants to say to the revelation of Jesus? I'm going to say yeah. There is nothing outside of Jesus that God wants to say. It is all in him. Everything we need to know about God is right there. And so I know I repeat this, but I do encourage people to not just read the Bible, but read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Prioritize the Gospels. Because that's where we read those witness statements of the life and the teaching of Jesus. What is God saying through this man? God becoming flesh. And of course, we can, even as we read the rest of the New Testament, what do we get? What we get is those early followers of Jesus figuring out what Jesus means. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in our lifetime? What does it mean to interpret the teaching of Jesus in this particular circumstance or that particular circumstance? Let's tell one another the stories about Jesus. What did he say? How did he encounter people? How did he respond to threat or abuse or intimidation or injustice? How did he respond? And we have the interpretation, that working out of what Jesus means and what Jesus wants us to know. And then Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Well, John, the Apostle John, as he writes his gospel, makes that clear. The Word of God became flesh. and dwelt amongst us. We have it here in Hebrews that God spoke in Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. In Revelation, we have that extraordinary vision of heaven that, again, John has. And he sees one upon whom is written the words, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Now, you'll say to me, hang on. Isn't this the Word of God? No. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible witnesses to the Word of God, but Jesus is the Word of God. And that might be a shift for us in our thinking, in our awareness, but the Bible witnesses to Jesus, who reveals God. The Bible witnesses to Jesus, who is the Word of God. And I know sometimes we speak of the Bible as the Word of God. But I think we need to be careful about what we do. Because if we say, well, the Bible literally is the Word of God, we have to ask exactly what we mean by that. Does that mean the Word of God is somehow squashed between these two covers? But of course, Jesus is the Word of God, and the Bible itself makes clear that Jesus is the Word of God. And we read the Bible to encounter Jesus, who is the Word of God. So the Bible witnesses to Jesus, who reveals God to us. When we read the Old Testament, of course, what do we have? In the most part, it is the witness of people to their encounter with God. And they are recording, this is our experience of the living God. The other nations, they talk about gods, but their gods are dead. Their gods are stones that they bow down and worship, or sticks or that they stick in the ground or something. But our God, our witness is that our God is alive. And our God is a mystery to us. He is beyond us and above us. And we don't fully understand our God. And that is the story that is repeated time and time again. And when we get to the New Testament, the astonishing witness, the astonishing testimony is the one that was spoken of, who is alive, who is magnificent and majestic. He has become flesh in Jesus. And we pay attention to him. The Bible witnesses to Jesus, who reveals God. And the Bible comes alive through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the picture of the desert? Arid, dry, just words on a page. So many words on a page. Ink on pages. And it can be for us dry and arid. The words can be for us dead. But through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they become for us the living Word of God. How does that happen? I'm not sure how it happens. But it does. But it does happen. And that is what a disciple seeks to do. A disciple who is following Jesus, who's paying attention to Jesus, who's listening to Jesus, who's saying, I aspire to be more like Jesus. I want to encounter Jesus as I read the Bible. I want the Holy Spirit to bring this, these words, these witness statements, these stories, to life for me, that I might be transformed by them. And so what do? Well, we read the Bible, and I encourage you to do that. Some of you, I know, have taken the practice seriously of reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of you have taken the practice seriously of reading the Bible through a whole year. I know a number of you have. There are all sorts of plans you can get, guides, to help you do that. So every day, just consistently, you read the Bible through in the space of a year. And I find it interesting that in John's Gospel, when Jesus talks about the gift being given of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, the Spirit will remind you of everything I have said. And I remember thinking, yeah, the problem with that is, if my head is empty and I know nothing of Jesus, it's pretty difficult for the Spirit to remind me of something I know nothing about. You have to read it first. You have to reflect on it first. And then the Holy Spirit will remind us in appropriate times and situations. So we read and we pray. We pray and we say, Lord, may this be for us the living word. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to see your character that is revealed in Jesus as we read the words in the Bible. And we reflect. Some of us, sometimes because of our personality, just because of our circumstance, some of us, we reflect just by ourselves. Sometimes we reflect using Bible notes. I mentioned Bible notes earlier. Some of us reflect by drawing or doodling or painting or writing. I remember one time in my life, and I think I've gone through all sorts of different ways of reading and reflecting on the Bible. One time, I remember my habit was to read, at that time it was probably a chapter of the Bible, and I would have a piece of paper there, and I would read the passage through, and I would pray, and then I'd read it again, and then I'd pick up my pen, and I'd write, literally I'd write, okay, what have I read? That's what I'd write that. And then I'd say, well, I think I've read this and this. And then I'd read the chapter again. Okay, what's this getting at? And I'd write all of this as if just a stream of consciousness. What's this getting at? Where do I discover God here? What is this saying to me? And I'd begin to reflect just as I wrote. And I found that a very helpful practice, and you might do that and find that a helpful practice as well. A way of reflecting on what we are reading. But also, sometimes we reflect together. You may attend Share and Prayer or come on a Sunday evening once a month, the second Sunday, or have other opportunities where you meet with others and you have that chance to reflect together. And together you say, what does this mean? What difference does this make? And you want to dig in to what we read so that together we discover Jesus and we ponder. We ponder. Sometimes we don't know the answers. It's not obvious. We ruminate. Many times I've read the Bible and thought, oh, I have no idea. And I put the Bible down, I put my shoes on, I go for a walk. And I thought, oh, crap, I have no idea. I've got to preach on this on Sunday, and I've got no idea. You know, by the time Sunday comes, I still have no idea. No. And I ponder. And you can do that. One of the ways I've found to ponder is to learn verses from the Bible. Learn verses from the Bible. And the way I've done this is to either print out on a piece of paper, key verse. So I might, in my Bible reading, I might read a particular chapter. And this wouldn't be every day by any means. But there might be something particular that speaks to me. And so I will print it out or write it on a piece of paper, and then I fold the piece of paper up, stick it in my back pocket. And it's there until I change my trousers. And when I'm out, I just pick it up, read it. Pick it up, read it. And I just speak it as going out. I'm driving the car. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, whatever. And I'm just repeating it. And that's part of my pondering. What does this mean? What does this mean? And I take it into my heart. And I seek to find a home in my heart for what I'm reading. I want to chew on it. I want to digest it. I want to discover the richness of what I read, because in it I discover Jesus. We ponder, we question. Yes, we question. Sometimes we read the Bible, even the Gospels speak of Jesus, and we question them. Maybe we say, I'm not sure that's true. Really? What on earth is the author saying? I can't figure it out. Sometimes we just have to leave it and just leave that. Sometimes we ask somebody else, what do you think this means? How are we to understand it? And we see Jesus doing exactly that. When sometimes people ask him a question and he says, well, you have your law. What does it say? How do you read it? How do you read it? How do you understand? How do you interpret what you've read? So we question it. But also we discuss it. We discuss it. And I find that often through discussing what we read with others, it brings fresh insight. I know for myself, I remember when I was preparing this, I was remembering a time when I was pastor in London. And it was in a house group situation and we were studying the Bible together. And of course, I'd got it sorted. You understand this? You know, I knew what the passage meant. I'd read the books and I knew what it was. And so I gave all my wisdom. And then I said, how does that land with people? What do you think? And folks started to go round and reflect. And I thought, oh, this is sounding good. Yeah. Pat myself on the back. And then the last person, a woman, to speak, just went, thanks for what you said, but I just wondered whether it means this. And I was just like, oh my word. It was like light had just shone on that particular passage that I'd never seen before. How on earth had you seen that? And I was humbled. I was just sort of crikey. And it is that willingness to discuss with others and say, this is what I've gleaned. Maybe you see it different. Let's discuss and let's share together. Because our agenda is very simple. We read the Bible in order to encounter Jesus. That is our goal. That is what we seek to do together. We read the Bible to encounter Jesus. He is the living Word of God. And we pray that as we do so, as we follow Jesus, as we pay attention to Jesus, as we listen to Jesus, we might step by step, little bit by little bit, be transformed to be more like him. And so we're going to pause. And we're going to pray. Father, thank you that you speak to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that Jesus is the Word of God. Father, we pray you would help us. Father, you know sometimes we struggle, and we pray that you would help us to read the Bible well. We pray that even on those days when reading the Bible it feels dry and lifeless, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. You would remind us that here, even in the desert, there is life. Father, encourage us. And Father, help us to encourage one another in our reading, our reflecting, our questioning, and our discussing. May the Bible be increasingly precious to us as we discover the living Word of God. This we pray in the name of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus himself.